when Bluebell, everything got crazy, and there was like listeria in the Bluebell plant, I ate ice cream when I was pregnant and I got sick and I was exposed to listeria and I was hospitalized and I was 22 weeks pregnant. So we were not at viability. And she just called me and she said, Katie, I trust you to make the medical decisions and do the things for our baby just like you would for yours. And that just really lowered the temperature in the room. That reinforced the trust that I was pretty confident that was there, but it reinforced it and it helped us grow our relationship now over 10 years later.
This podcast is meant to provide information on reproductive health. It does not establish a physician-patient relationship, and we would urge you to contact your treating provider regarding your care.
Hi, it's Doretner Hessen, and we're back at the Modern Parenthood Podcast. And today I'm delighted to have Katie N. Calais today with me. She is the president and CEO of Donor and Surrogate Solutions, and she's here to share not just what she does professionally, but how her personal experience has shaped her professional life. So Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's start off with you just telling our audience a little bit about you.
Wow. Okay. So I came into this industry not as a business owner, but through personal experience. So I chose to be a donor now a little over 20 years ago. So as you know, egg donation looked totally different back then than it does now. But I came in as a donor and later went on to be a surrogate through this process. How beautiful it was. But I am a mom to three now teenagers. One will be a senior this fall. So I feel like things are moving really, really fast. But I get the privilege of leading a team. We are based in Dallas, but all over the U.S. And even serve families internationally. So it's a real privilege to get to speak with you today and speak on that experience and just how things have evolved and changed as well.
So what made you want to be a donor a couple decades ago? What made you decide to be a donor?
I was volunteering in a space and I really was like, what? I don't think I knew what infertility was. Like that wasn't something that was in my world. And so I thought, What happens for people who need help having kids? And I was in college, so advertisements, you know, came my way. And I was like, oh, this is a really cool way to help. And so I signed up with an agency, educated myself not at all to what I know now, and chose to donate. And so I had a great experience with a local fertility clinic looking far different than it does now. I did an anonymous donation, it still is that. It won't be that way at some point, but, wanted to help in some way, and it seemed to make sense at that stage of my life.
And what a great way to help another couple who really needed donor eggs to build their family. That's such a fantastic thing to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's been a privilege to walk through and learn more and meet other women that choose to say yes to this.
And then you went on and had your own three children and then surrogacy afterwards. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep. We typically say we had our kids early and often. And then we looked up and thought, well, I was already working in the field of egg donation. I wasn't working in surrogacy, but I was walking through TJ Maxx one day and I called my husband and I said, I think I should probably be a surrogate. And he said, you want to be pregnant again? And I just said, yeah. I mean, I had relatively simple, I had C-sections, but otherwise, you know, relatively simple pregnancies. And as you know, finding women who are willing to say yes is hard. And I think what I've learned more now is just women qualified to do it through pregnancy history. And so we decided, I called a friend of mine who owned an agency at the time and I said, match me with someone amazing. And she did.
That's wonderful. So as you know, I utilize a surrogate as well to have my only child. And the things that surrogates do or gestational carriers do for others, it's just amazing. And it's because of her kindness. I have my only child today. And you being a surrogate, you helped another couple have their child as well, which you know, otherwise would probably not happen.
Right. Right. Yeah, they had had a lot of infertility loss and miscarriage. And so, you know, surrogacy was their only option in transferring those embryos.
Such a fantastic thing. And you also did some fostering, is that correct?
We did, yes. After egg donation, after surrogacy, we were done building our family. And I mean, it's a beautiful story that came together. The family that I cared for, she is heavily involved in foster care. And so we were kind of already looking at foster care and what that would look like for us. And she really spoke into that in being something that we could do. And she served as a real support for us in that process. So we fostered a few times, the first time with littles. And that is a different challenge. We had 5 kids, 7 and under at one point. So that's a lot of littles. And then after we call them the boys, after the boys left, COVID hit. So we took a small little break, and then we had the privilege of having a teenage boy in our home for almost 2 years. And that was an amazing experience as well.
So you've really come full circle, donor eggs, surrogacy, mm-hmm. having your own kids, fostering. Tell me what that has taught you about parenthood.
I think for parenthood, it's just taught me that parenthood looks different for people. Like, we can build families in all different ways. You know, there's the traditional way of building parents, but there's IVF and egg donation and surrogacy, and there isn't one right path to parenthood. Because I think the goal for parents is the same across the board. It's love and building security and belonging. I think children care a whole lot less about how they came into this world and more about how they're loved within their families.
That's amazing. And that's the reason I started this podcast. Yeah. And it's called Modern Parenthood, because in today's day and age, you just don't become a parent by the old-fashioned way. I mean, 1 in 6 couples today struggle with infertility and need help. And it could be IUI, IVF, or third-party donation, where they need donor egg, donor sperm, and or surrogacy. And then adoption. We've talked to people who've done private adoption. We've talked to people who've done foster to adopt. And now with you, with fostering, I believe parenthood really is about the love and commitment and really just kind of showing up for that child. I ran into someone last week, and she looked at me and she said, "Dorette, your child is so well behaved." And I said, "You know, I usually say it's luck or I'm just blessed, but honestly, I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of parenting. Really just being committed to that child and teaching them so that they grow up to be a good citizen of mm-hmm. the world. And that's really what parenthood is, and not really genetics. A lot of it comes from the love and support that we provide to a child. So that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing how you've come full circle with this. So, Katie, I love that you've done donor egg, surrogacy, fostering. I want to explore some of these in some detail with you. You said you signed up to become a donor. What fears did you have about becoming a donor? Were you worried that, oh my gosh, someone may be raising something that's my genetic material, a child that's my genetic material out there? Tell me what goes through the thought process of becoming a donor and what fears and anxiety that you may present with.
Yeah. So I was young when I decided to be an egg donor. And I think one of the best things I did was had a psychological evaluation and consultation. And that's something, thank goodness, was being done 20 years ago and is still being done today. And she really helped me process through the biological aspects of it. And it is really funny that I have these weird, just different perspectives, right? I was an egg donor as gestational carrier, a biological mom, and now foster care. And I see more than anything that relationship is built through connections. And so I do remember thinking when I chose to be a donor, well, like, what will these children be to me? And you can have some people that will say, like, well, they are your children, or they are your children's half siblings. And while the half sibling, I think, is a true statement, a child is not a statement that I would make to, I am an egg donor. I'm a part of their story. And so I really looked at it as just helping. That was equivalent. My grandfather had had a heart transplant, and I looked at it like that. Like, someone was able to give a gift for him for life, and I really view it the same way. Now, there are some people that don't. And typically, I just tell people, if you look at it differently, this may or may not be a process that you can go through. For surrogacy, I think you, as a mom via surrogacy, I'm sure you've heard people ask you questions and question things, and you probably look up and you're like, that is not how we see it. And that has been the case for surrogacy for us as well. So I think the fear was around maybe education. How does this work? What will other people think one day, or how will I explain this? I didn't have kiddos when I chose to be a donor. And so those were those first things. And then I leaned on the medical professionals who explained it, as well as mental health, to walk through the thought process until I got to a place that I was comfortable with it.
You hit on so many important points there. So the psychological component. Mm-hmm. And so for all of my patients who use donor egg, donor sperm, and or surrogacy, I have them meet one time with a therapist just to be sure they're comfortable moving forward, because this is a big decision with donating your eggs or donating your sperm or using a surrogate or utilizing donor egg, donor sperm, yeah, and or surrogate. And so it's a very large decision. And I love how you describe thinking about it like a transplant, because for us, the FDA regulates a lot of this when it comes to third party, and it's seen like that. You're donating tissue or cells. And so it should be viewed as that, in terms of you're helping someone by donating tissue or cells that they ordinarily would not have and would not be able to pursue. And so someone needs eggs or sperm to have their pregnancy, and they're struggling with a true medical diagnosis, as infertility is a true medical diagnosis, just like end-stage liver disease. And so definitely seeing it as, hey, I'm helping someone by donating tissue or cells that would help them with a true medical disease, infertility, that they need help with, is so important. And one other thing that I discuss with the donors and or the recipients, the intended parents of donor egg or donor sperm, is that this child, any embryos or children created from these eggs or sperm, are yours and yours only. And I love how you said, use the word child, because it belongs to that intended parent. And I tell them things like, hey, you're the one that's going to be pregnant. You're the one mm-hmm. who's going to have the baby shower and the gender reveal. You're the one that's going to deliver the birth certificates in your name. So where the biological information came from, the donor egg, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter as much. It's really that love that you're going to give the child is really what matters. So I love that you went through that process as a donor, because our donors help so many other people who cannot have children, who are struggling with infertility. And we need more donors. I feel like, especially in my culture, in the Asian mm-hmm. culture, there's not enough donors. And we definitely need more donors to help patients with fertility.
Yeah. I agree with you. I say it often, like, genetics contribute to a child's origin story, because, and it's important, you know, our agency, we do have an identified egg donor program where families can meet a donor beforehand, because we're seeing more things through donor-conceived people that are wanting to ask questions about what that looks like. But it's just a small piece of their story, because that parenting and family that we were talking about, like, that's built through the love and connection and the midnight feedings and the school drop-offs and the hard conversations and the nurturing, the daily investment in people's lives. So that relationship component really outweighs biology, which I saw in our foster care journey as well. So that biology is just a small part and an important part of every child's story, but it's not their whole story at all.
So, so important. I'm so glad you're sharing this story with us. I also want to talk to you about the surrogacy aspect and what goes into that. So I will tell you, as an intended parent myself who utilized a surrogate to have my only child, picking a surrogate, it's a difficult decision. And for just like you said, there's not a lot of women who are volunteering to do this. They're going to be pregnant for 9 months. They're setting their bodies aside for those 9 months to carry. And it's such a wonderful thing that they do for someone else. They're not enough surrogates. And then the psychological component as well. Here, I have to trust someone to carry that pregnancy for 9 months. And I had a great relationship with my surrogate. I didn't text her every day and say, what are you eating? What are you doing? I just trusted her to be pregnant, and I showed up for doctor's visits, and that's all I did. But the biggest thing I learned as, not just as a physician, but as someone and as an intended parent who went through the process, is finding someone who matched me and my views in pregnancy was the most important thing. Someone who I felt like I can work with for about a year, and that we would see things on the same level in terms of pregnancy. And once I found that person, I just trusted that person to be pregnant. But the psychological component is so important, because we do make the intended parents meet with a therapist just to be sure they understand what they're going through. And we do make the gestational carriers or surrogates meet with a therapist as well to make sure they understand what they're about to go through, as well as their partners. So my surrogate, she was married, she had children. Hey, how does her partner feel about her being pregnant with someone else's child? And how does her children look at her and see her pregnant and there's no baby to take home? And there's a huge psychological component to this. And so you being a surrogate was very helpful for that couple in terms of their fertility journey. What fears did you have going into the process as a gestational carrier or a surrogate?
I think a lot of the same things that you processed as a mom through this journey, I think for me as a surrogate, that was true as well. Those, what we call at our agency, matching factors. So, what will communication look like? I had some of the same feelings that you did when I chose to be a surrogate. I had three kids, three and a half, my youngest was 3 and a half, my oldest was 6. And I was a small business owner. And so I kind of wanted to be matched with somebody that was equally as busy as I was. And so that matching really mattered, because I wanted to make sure that I was meeting her expectations as well, because this is part of her child's story, and I didn't want to let her down on the connection or communication or what that needed to look like. Because while this process is there is an end to it, it's not transactional. It is deeply relational because of the first thing that you said, which was trust. Like, trust has to be built in this process. And I think both sides have to talk about those things, set expectations early on. What do you want delivery to look like? What do you want communication to look like? How do you feel about vaccines and termination and exercise? And for me, I was having a C-section. Like, were they comfortable with their child being born via C-section? So all of those things and talking through those things were important. So I think my initial fear was just, are we going to be aligned? We were blessed that we were I had kind of a complication. It was when, well, you're from Texas. So when Bluebell, everything got crazy and there was like listeria in the Bluebell plant, I ate ice cream when I was pregnant and I got sick and I was exposed to listeria and I was hospitalized and I was 22 weeks pregnant. So we were not at viability and they didn't live here locally. And she just called me and she said, Katie, I trust you to make the medical decisions and do the things for our baby just like you would for yours. And that just really lowered the temperature in the room. And that reinforced the trust that I was pretty confident that was there, but it reinforced it and it helped us grow our relationship now over 10 years later.
Yeah, the trust is so important. And you're right, for us, we still send Christmas cards and happy birthdays and those types of things. And the trust is so important. And we've built that relationship just like you built with the intended parents. And today there are books that teach children they were conceived via donor egg, donor sperm, and or surrogacy. And I will tell you, for us, we chose to tell our son, hey, you were born via surrogacy, and he knows his mommy didn't carry him. Yep. He knows all of this, but I'm still his mother. And, you know, if you look at him and me, we look exactly alike. and he's comfortable with that. But it's so important as well for children, their psychological health, for them to understand the process, because perhaps maybe another kid in his class may not think that's normal for, you know, his mother to not have carried him. And so for them to truly understand the process, and this is where education is so important. And also one of the reasons I started this podcast, because I feel like we want to get education out to the general public, what donor egg, donor sperm, surrogacy, what parenthood in general looks like in today's day and age, with so many people struggling in silence with infertility, and they don't know that there are other people doing fertility treatments, whether it's IUI or IVF or third-party reproduction or adoption or fostering. They don't know that, hey, there are options out there. And I want our listeners to know that they have options. If you enjoyed Katie's story and want to hear more stories about fertility and parenthood, please like, follow, and subscribe so you do not miss an episode. See you next time.